Thank you for joining Dayspring Christian Church today. Our aim is to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy a Sunday sermon already in progress.
First Corinthians chapter 6 is where we're going to be this morning. First Corinthians chapter 6 is where we're going to be. And I just pray this morning that you came with expectant hearts, ready to receive from the Lord. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and whatever version you have on your phone or device, whatever you use it, read it from a version that you are comfortable with. But I'm starting at verse 9, right in the middle of what Paul is talking about. It says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, nor the adulterers, nor the idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both and the other, one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual morality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Amen. Flee from sexual morality. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body."
Amen.
We'll be talking this afternoon on freedom from sexual sins. Let's pray. Father, we need you. We depend on you. We trust in you. We thank you that it is for freedom that you have set us free. We thank you, Lord God, that you live in us and we can put our trust in you. And now, Heavenly Father, we ask in no other name but the name of Jesus that you prepare hearts, prepare souls, minds, Father, to receive your word today.
Amen.
I pray in the name of Jesus that you would surround this room with the angelic host, Father, here to support, here to fight on behalf of those who desire freedom. We serve the eviction notice today in the name of Jesus to every demon of hell that has harassed the children of God in Jesus' name. And we command you in the name of Jesus to not interfere with the mind and the heart and the bodies of those who hear the word of God this morning and this afternoon in Jesus' name. And Father, we give you the glory, honor, and praise in advance of what you're going to do. And we thank you for the freedom that is already ours through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As I sent this message out this week, usually when you tell people what you're going to preach on, they then decide whether or not they want to be a part of it. But what people don't realize is that there's a spiritual force that I've been talking about the last couple weeks that is battling against you and your desire to grow in God or be a part of the things of God. And so whether you're on Zoom watching because you don't want to be here, or whether they're here and they can't hear you, but they're listening to it later, just be aware that there's a spirit that is trying to get you away from the things of God and the freedom of God, because the enemy seeks to kill, steal, and destroy your life. And there's no pretty way to put it. He wants to kill, he wants to steal, he wants to destroy. And whatever he can do to be able to distract you, pull you away, disturb your freedom in Christ, he will do it. He will do it.
Yes.
And I want to speak on being free from sexual sins, because it's an area where the Lord delivered me from.
Amen.
And when he delivered me, I feel the freedom is for everybody.
Yes.
And he delivered me after I came to Christ.
Yes.
Hello?
Amen.
Sometimes we think that when we're coming to Christ that we get freedom of salvation and we come freedom into the kingdom of God, but the things that we do to open the door to particular sins and habits and things that we invite the enemy in, and we involve ourselves in different things, and we're trying to serve God, but there's something that is hindering us. There's a habit that we keep going to. There's a person or thing that we keep going back to again and again and again. And God delivered me, and he wants to deliver everybody also. He wants to deliver everybody. And I pray that all of you become delivered in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Today.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
And those of you who need more ministry after today, I pray that you will seriously take advantage of Dayspring recovery to go further in healing that God wants you to experience. Sexual sins are any and all involvement sexually outside of marriage. These particular strongholds include multiple sex partners, adultery, lust, perversion, pornography, fantasies, self-pleasuring. Now, why are we talking about this within the church? As I mentioned in the last couple weeks, before we came to Jesus, we were in bondage. And when we came to Jesus, we are now sealed with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, and we are now free. And after we've accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and we're now in the promised land of our relationship with Jesus Christ, because we've come from Egypt and we're on our way to the promised land, that there are particular things that we have to realize that we have to battle here on earth. Things that we battle within our mind, things that we battle within our body, and we're in a constant battle because we have a real enemy that is trying to take us out, and especially as it pertains to sexual sins. And we can see in the history of the church, the things that have taken place to bring down congregations and bring down pastors and bring down marriages and relationships and people that are related to sexual sins. And it's one of the devil's main aims at the believers, that if he can get you confused in your identity, get you confused in your sexuality, get you confused in your purity, and we try to do God's thing, and at the same time we're struggling with a habit or we're doing things that aren't pleasing to God, if he can get us there, he has us. And so when you're not battling the enemy and he's not coming against you, but you're kind of feeling okay, like everything's okay and things seem to be going well, that's because you're on the same side. There's nothing for him to battle against. When you determine that you're going to be free and you're going to come out of the bondage where you're in, that's where the battle's going to begin, because he realizes he's losing a battle and he wants to pull you out. And we are in this battle as believers. The Bible says that in Mark, that when Jesus went into church, as he walked into church, a spirit cried out and said, "Who are you, Jesus, come to disturb us before our time?"
Come on.
That was in church.
Yes.
It was the church. And so the devil knows that he can harass believers. He can have you worshiping on one end, but battling with your mind, worshiping and feel the presence of God, and then going back at night, battling temptations and struggles that go on and make you feel defeated and condemned. And we go again, and we try again, and we try again, and we come back, and we fast, and we pray, and then we end up still falling and still failing.
Yes.
And we desire freedom. For some of you in this room, it's been for years. For years. And for some, it has affected your mind. It's affected your emotions, your time, your productivity, your marriage, your relationships, your family, and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus died, the Bible says, and he rose from the dead so that we would be free. So that we would be free of these things. Be free.
Yes.
And whom the Son sets free, the Bible says, is free indeed.
Yes.
Indeed. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Christ set us free so that we could just experience freedom, that we don't have to keep going and battling with these things over and over. And Paul talks in his list at the beginning of this passage that I read that the unrighteous people who do these practices and have these lifestyles, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. He says, don't be fooled.
Amen.
Don't be deceived. No matter how they act, no matter whether they choke one day and they choke the other day, no matter whether if their lifestyle is a lifestyle of these particular things, he says, don't be fooled. They may think they are. They may think they're good people. They may think they're on the right track. He says, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Don't think they're going to make it into heaven. Don't think that they're going to have any benefits of the kingdom of God. But he says that was how you were. But that was some of you were. That's where you came from. And you came to Jesus Christ. And when you came to Jesus Christ, you went from darkness to light. And now you're on the side of light. And he was trying to let them know that you have a new identity now. That used to be your lifestyle, but that's no longer your stuff. Yeah, I know you're struggling, but that's not your lifestyle. The devil doesn't have you because you committed yourself to Jesus Christ. So we operate from a position of being sealed by the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. If we have chosen Jesus Christ, and we are serious about walking with him.
Amen.
He says, that's for some of you, you used to be like that. But he says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of God. In other words, you came into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you trusted him as your Lord and Savior, and you decided, and through that decision, he washed you. You're baptized, you're sanctified, he cleaned you up, and then he pronounced you as though you never sinned. He justified you. Paul said, that's where you came from. That's the work that's been done in you. And before Paul starts off saying, before I get into what I really want to talk about, I want to remind you first who you are. This is where you come from. This is the Lord that you're serving. He says, you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You're saved. You're transformed. You have Jesus Christ living inside you. Go ahead and put yourself on your head on your own body. You have Jesus Christ living inside you. The Holy Spirit is within you, sealing you in the name of Jesus. Jesus went to the cross to die for you so that you can have that freedom and he can live inside of you and you then can have eternal life. And so he got what he didn't deserve so you can get what you didn't deserve.
Amen.
But in verse 12, he gets into the meat of this passage. He says, I can do anything, but not everything is beneficial for me.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I have the power to do what I want to do, but not everything is helpful for me. Mm-hmm. I have a free will. I can choose. I can do whatever I want to do, but not everything that I want to do is going to help me. It's going to be beneficial for me. As a believer, but also as a human being. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, all things are in my power, but I will not be brought under the power of them. He says, all things are in my power. I have the ability to choose. I have the ability to use my free will. I have the ability to do whatever I want. And there's things out there that want to control me. But he says, I will not be brought under the power of anything.
Amen.
The thing is that some of us have been brought under the power of some things. Some of us in the room have convinced ourselves that we are, what we're doing is beneficial to us. It's helping us. Well, I'm single. Everyone's doing it. We try to justify, no one's looking. I'm all by myself. I'm not hurting anyone. Well, we're trying to convince ourselves that it's beneficial for us. And we say, like Paul, food for the body and body for food. Like, it's normal for me to do this. It's just natural for me to do it. You know, the world around me is doing it. Everything I'm pushing is doing it. So I might as well do food for the body and body for food. It's normal. It's normal. It's normal. What doesn't go together is the body in sexual sins. Paul says, the body wasn't meant for sexual sins. The body that you have was not meant for sexual sins. And what goes together, he's saying, is the body and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What goes together is your body and Jesus Christ. Your body was meant for the Lord. It wasn't meant for sexual sins. And because he says you were bought with a price. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you. So nothing else should live within you. And this body is sacred unto him, and it belongs to him. And further down he says, so you're not even your own. When you became a believer, you became a slave. Well, we can see that.
Yes.
When you became a believer, Paul says that your body is not your own. Your own body is someone else. Someone else owns you. And if you're serious about that decision, you then respond according to the decision that you made. So the question then becomes, so do we take what belongs to Jesus and unite it with a prostitute, he says? Do I take our body that belongs to Jesus and use it for sexual sins? Paul says, never. Never should that enter our mind. Never should that be our habit. Never should we try to get in the habit of using our body for sexual sins. He was saying, he goes, never, never. You've been bought with a price. Your body belongs to the Lord. I can't take what belongs to the Lord. A member, he calls it, like a limb of the Lord's body, and unite that with the prostitutes. Goodness, Paul, if you put it that way, that's kind of serious. What have I done? So when we are involved in sex outside of marriage, we're having sex. And that's when we're having sex or not married. We become one with the other person as though we were actually married. And see, you go through a form of physical and spiritual union.
Yes.
Paul says, he's talking about the prostitute and the believer. He says, when you have sex with the prostitute, you become one with that person. Because the Bible says in Genesis, the two shall become one flesh. Paul says, you unite yourself with that person. When we have sex outside of marriage, we have united ourselves with that one person. And there's only a physical union, but there's also a spiritual union. We become one flesh, and part of them comes into you, and part of you goes into them. You take into yourself their personality, you take into yourself their habits, you take into yourself their behaviors. And even though you may even start to sound like them, and you become part of their family history. So whatever their family history was involved in, you have taken that into yourself and become one with that person. Yeah, you had a good time, but there's more than just a good time that happened.
Come on now.
You become spiritually married to that person. open yourself up to all of that. If they practice evil, you've taken that into yourself. If they practice witchcraft, you've taken that into yourself. If they're cursing and drunkard, you take that into yourself. And sometimes you think to yourself, man, I never had this happen before. But also, I have this urge. It's come from the one flesh union that you had. One flesh union. You become one flesh, he says. And you know what some of you are thinking? Well, I plan to marry that person. But you know what the reality is? You have just cursed what God could have blessed. What God intended to bless, you have just cursed it. Now God can restore it if you're serious about repenting, if you're serious about until this point, not going back there again. But you cursed what you're hoping God was going to bless, and now your relationship is going to go through all these roller coasters, and you're trying to figure out why. It's because of the one flesh union. And we move from partner to partner, roller coaster after roller coaster, ups and downs, because we can't get enough. We're trying to figure it out. This is why. Because we've opened the door to sexual sins. And if you don't repent and turn this over to the Lord, and ask the person to forgive you, you forgive the other person. That person is now prone to go through the same thing. And then the marriage then it begins to now multiply, because you think that now we're married, and if it's not dealt with, now it begins to manifest in the marriage, because now there's other sexual sins that begin to elevate the marriage, and we're trying to do it like the world, and now you're committed to one person, but now you're looking at other people. Why? Because of the one flesh union, the sexual sins that you've entertained. And sexual sins continue and they increase. Why? Because it's always increased. Everything the devil does, it always demands more. And it may start off with something soft and something light, but he demands more, he demands more, he demands more, until it becomes another person. And we see sometimes to the extent where now it's rape. Because that demon of hell demands more of a sacrifice. It's because we took it lightly, and you're trying to break it, and you keep going back again and again. You're trying to break it, keep going back again and again. You're trying to figure out why, because sometimes you're bored, and sometimes you don't know what to do, and sometimes you're depressed. You keep going back again, you go back again, and now it becomes a stronghold, and even, I would say that it becomes a demonic stronghold.
Yes, Jesus.
Break it, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And when it comes to sexual sins, there's a difference from other things Paul was saying. From other sins, when it comes to sexual sins, he says other sins that we do outside of the body in verse 18, but when it comes to sexual sins, we do it within our body, to our own body. We do it to ourselves. We sin against ourselves. He says in verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body. But sexual immorality, immoral person, they sin against their own body. And when we are involved in sexual sins, we are sinning against our own body. This body that should be the temple of the Holy Spirit. This body that belongs to Jesus Christ. We sin against our own body, and some of the things that we're dealing with in our body may be a result of these sexual sins. The sickness, the anxiety, the depression, the confusion, the STIs, and now even the monkeypox, all of them are due to coming from sexual sins. We're sinning against our own body, and I know we're going to try to argue it away. I know we're going to try to know just this or that was my family, whatever. But no, if you've been in that same pattern, some of the things you could be facing are just manifestations and results of our sexual sins, because we've sinned against our own body.
Yes.
Paul even warned the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 to 8. Write that scripture down. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 to 8. He says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual morality. He says that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. not in passionate lust like the pagans, like the world, who do not know God, but as believers. He says, and that is in this matter, no one should, and that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of brother or sister. The Lord will punish all who commit such sins. As we told you and warned you, he said before, we warned you about this. God did not call us to be impure, but to live holy. Remember, anyone who rejects this instruction, he says, does not reject a human being, but God. Anyone who's here, hearing the sound of my voice, and you're just saying, no, I'm going to do what I want. No, I'm going to live the way I want. He says, you're not rejecting me as the pastor. Big deal. He says, you're rejecting God. You're rejecting the Holy Spirit. Well, let me say something about pornography. As we are told in the Bible to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares and entangles us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Pornography is one of those sins that ensnares us.
Yes.
It entangles us.
Yes.
It grips onto us. No matter what we're doing, we're trying to break out of it. We have to realize that private victories prepare for public triumph. I know it's in the scripture. At 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34 to 37, David is talking to King Saul. He's trying to tell him his resume. And he says this. He says, I went out after it and I struck him. He talked about the bear and the lion. I came to take one of the lambs from the flock. He says, I went out after it and I struck it. And I delivered the lamb out of his mouth. And when it rose up against me, I caught it by its beard and I struck it and killed it. That is the mindset to be free from pornography and sexual sins. We go after it. We take it. We defeat it in the name of the power of Jesus Christ, and we subdue it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And he says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the Philistine. The God who delivers you from the area of darkness and the lifestyle of darkness, the same God will deliver you from sexual sins. The same God. The same God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
David didn't blame himself. I keep falling. He says, no. When this line of the Spirit came, I killed it. I went after it. I watched so many nature shows, and I love watching lions, especially when they get something and kill it. And they're eating it. If it's a show where they just, skip out the eating parts, I just shut it off. I don't want to see them ripping that animal apart. I don't want to see the blood coming off of their beards. Like, I just want to see all of them. They rip the animal, they choke it to death, and then they just sit there with that dead animal, and they just rest. And they just take their time.
Yes.
And when they're ready, they just eat it. And they'll start licking it. And they'll start licking it, and then they start eating it. And I'm thinking to myself, man, what would I do in the face of a lion? It would kill me, choke me up. We just watched that show, Something Bit Me. And the lady who had a bear pull her up by her head and rip her skull off. And I'm like, oh my goodness, and David killed that thing. And God says, hey, that's what pornography is doing to people, but they don't realize that they can kill that thing.
Yes.
They're sitting there like they're dead, and the devil's just panting, ready to rip them apart. They can kill that thing with the Spirit of God in them.
Hallelujah.
God delivered David from the lion as it attacked him.
Amen.
So I want to give you five things to be freed from pornography. Five things. Write these down quickly. I want to give credit to Pastor Vlad Subchuk, who I took his course, and some of the stuff was brought up in his course. And I want to relate it to you. The first one, if you want to be free from pornography, there has to be desperation. There has to be desperation. Derek Prince says this, Holy Spirit belongs to the thirsty. Deliverance belongs to the desperate. Hmm. In order to be delivered, we have to be desperate. We have to want again, we have to be desperate. We want to be free. Be desperate. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to stir up that desperation in us. Second thing is deliverance. We have to be desperate, but we have to want to be delivered. Jesus said in John 8, verse 34, he says, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave to sin. And if you're a slave to it, if it's something you keep doing over and over and over, keep going back to that person, keep going, repeat that habit again and again, you have to decide you want to be delivered from it, you want to be free from it. You have to pray for the Lord. You have to ask him to deliver us. You have to ask him to set us free. And I know I've been there. You're asking several times. You're asking over and over again. You're asking over and over again. But I had to then evaluate my desperation. Do I really want to stop it? I remember sitting across the desk one time with this young guy who was just being so tormented with pornography and multiple sex partners. And I said to him, do you want to be free? And he paused. He just stood there for about 5 minutes. Just so I could see them contemplating in his mind. And then he says, no, I'm not ready. And I said, thank you for being honest. Now let me paint the picture of what this is going to look like. Now let me paint the picture of how this is going to end up. Because you're going to cheat on your partner because it demands more. And it's going to be progressive. It demands more. So if you're deciding you're not ready, what is going to make you ready?
Come on.
You have to want to be free to get free. You got to be desperate. You got to want to be delivered from this. Thirdly, it has to do with devotion. It has to be devotion. 1 John 4, verse 18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. There has to be devotion to God, a mature love that's growing in God. Certain things, we have to cast out. Certain things we have to remove, but other things we have to commit ourselves to God and focus on God. You have to be serious if you want to be free, that you're going to now focus on God, the things of God, read the Bible, do your devotions, and time of worship. Yeah, it may seem boring to you, but you want to be free.
Yes. That's right.
Do you want to be bored?
Yes.
Do you want to be in bondage?
Preach.
Do you want to be harassed? It requires our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. So then you have to evaluate your commitment. You have to evaluate your desire. I mean, we talked about this week in staff meeting where the scripture says, you know, delight yourself in the law of the Lord in Psalm chapter 1. And I said, Lord, can you speak to me about what is the level of your delight? Is it just to pass it by? Is it just that I've read the scriptures, now I have something to say to people about it that's so spiritual? Or is it a commitment that you have to the Word of God that you're not going to forsake His Word, you're going to follow Him all the days of your life? And no matter whether you have good days or bad days, you're still holding on to the goodness of God. Whether you feel like it or not, you're still taking the Word of God. You're still going to read the Word of God. You're still going to spend time with Him. And whether you are alone or with other people, it's about you. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. There has to be devotion.
Amen.
Yeah, you may miss out. It may not be popular. Yeah, you may not be invited out again. Yeah, you may have to turn off some movies. Yeah, you have to stop listening to some music. Yeah, you have to stop hanging out with some friends. But it's about devotion to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And if you've been failing and failing and failing because you've been hanging with some people, you have to decide if you get close to God so you can bring them because you're too weak to bring them down. To be devoted to the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Fourth thing is discipline. Mm-hmm. Requires discipline. Deliverance gets the demons out of you. Discipline keeps the demons out of you. Deliverance gets you free from these strongholds. Discipline keeps them away from you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 to 30. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you to go, more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. He says, if something is offending you, if it's that website, if it's that game, if it's that show, if it's that movie that's causing you, he says, pluck it out, pluck out your own eye. He says, to that extent, cut off your own hand if it's offending you.
Do whatever you can do to be free from this thing. And don't joke around with it. Chop it off. Because he said to keep your hand and to continue in that habit, you're going to end up in hell saying to yourself, man, I wish I had put it off. I wish I had blocked it. I wish I unsubscribed. I wish I cut off that hand. I wish I plucked out my eyes. But there we are in hell crying out, God, why did I listen? It was so simple to do. I want to stay above and everything. I want to be part of everything. I wanted to continue and require discipline. I got to discipline myself. I got to discipline myself to the things of God, the deeds of God. And discipline is what God does in me. Because the Holy Spirit is in me and He wants to work through me. He's the one who helps me with discipline. But I just have to surrender to Him and listen to Him. Then when he says, go to bed, I go to bed. Then when he says, shut it off, I shut it off. When he says, get out of the house, I get out of the house. When he says, don't call her, you don't call her. When he says, don't go over to his house, you don't go over to his house. Why? Because there's discipline. Yes. I work on this. Yeah, it's hard, but I have to work on it until it's normal for me. Yes. All discipline is hard, but it's about a decision. We decide.
Thank you, Jesus.
We don't get lazy. Become vigilant. I can't listen to that anymore. I know what it does to me. I can't watch it anymore. I know what it does to me. I can't open that app. I know what it's been doing to me. I keep falling in that area. We need to cut it off.
Yes.
Because you won't be free unless you cut it off. Yeah, I know you'll think you'll avoid it, but come on, you've done it for years. You keep going back. I've been there, done that. I got the t-shirt. I sent the postcard. I know myself. You keep going back again and again. You deceive yourself and thinking you're stronger now. You spend some time in fasting, and then you know the moment of weakness that the devil knows you're a weakness. You know when to attack you, when to tempt you, when to pull you back in, and it's the same stuff again and again. The same people, the same sights, the same stuff. No new material, the same stuff. Bring you back again. The same memories of the person you had sex with, the same memories, and when you try to block that out now in your dreams, it's coming, the demon's coming in your dreams, and appearing as your spouse, and appearing as someone who's trying to now pull you away. It's because there's a spiritual stronghold. You see how serious this is, church?
Yes.
You see how serious this is? Fisting is dominion. We need to be desperate, we need deliverance, we need devotion, we need discipline, we need dominion. We need to move forward from a place of victory now. When God sets us free, we move forward from a place of victory. If you fall, you come back quickly because you've been set free. Jesus says that when the spirit is cast out of a person, he goes around looking. For a place to dwell that comes back to the same individual, the same temptation, the same pressure, the same habit comes back to the same person to try to get them to open up to it again. But we now have dominion in Jesus Christ. We have the ability to say, no, this house is no longer welcome to you. This house has been cleaned up. You have been evicted and never returned in the name of Jesus. Because you see, we're fighting three enemies. We're fighting the devil, we're fighting the flesh, and we're fighting the world. And we're fighting them all at the same time. You know, our spiritual enemy is overcome when we repent, when we renounce, when we resist the enemy, or we're delivered from his strongholds. We become free. The inward enemy, the flesh, is overcome by what Jesus Christ said on the cross, by us denying ourselves, and for us going into a period of discipline and having a lifestyle of discipline before the Lord. The outward enemy of the world is overcome when we flee and remove ourselves from the places and the people that cause us to sin. So let me say something quickly about those who need deliverance. I want you to write this down. Certain things you need to know, need to do. First, you have to recognize that there's a spiritual stronghold there. You have to recognize it. Be in agreement with it.
There's some form of demonic activity that's happening there because there's an open door. It's an open door that's there. Recognize. John chapter 8, verse 31 to 33, Jesus is talking to the leaders of the law, and he's telling them that, look, this is what you used to do with Abraham. And they turn around and say, yeah, with Abraham, we were Abraham's descendants. We were never been in bondage to anyone. So deceived. Recognize it. Recognize. That's denial. Second thing is repent. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Confess any sins. Forgive anyone who sinned against you. Forgive. You may be in that stronghold because you refuse to forgive. Forgive. Yeah, I know they hurt you, but forgive them. Decide in your heart today, I release them. I forgive them. Father, I forgive them. We confess and we repent our faith of Jesus Christ, and we confess any sins to God. And we forgive anyone who comes against us. Because if we refuse to forgive, then we can't expect anything from God. If we don't confess our faith in Jesus Christ, then we have allowed the enemy to control our will. If we don't confess our sins, become friends with them. If you already have forgiven, then the offense is illegal. It's illegal. If you're already forgiven the person, the enemy's harassing you with it, it's illegal for him to do that. The third thing is we have to renounce. We have to renounce all involvement, all contact that we've had in these strongholds, all contact we've had with these sexual sins. We need to throw away anything that's dedicated to those items. If you receive something from someone during that time, if there's something you hold on to, then you have to renounce it. If you determine you're going to have a soul tie with that person, renounce that soul tie. If you told anyone, we're going to keep together the rest of our lives, you have invoked a soul tie that needs to be renounced and broken.
In the name of Jesus.
2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, he says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame. See, repentance closes the door and it puts the bolt on the door. And renouncing it rips the contract that we might have had with these strongholds. So we repent, but then we renounce it. We renounce it, rips the contract. The enemy has no more legal right. When we rip that contract, we renounce it. He has no more legal rights. And then the fourth thing is we then release ourselves. Release yourself in the name of Jesus. You release yourself in the name of Jesus. Proverbs 6 verse 5 talks about deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. I release myself.
Yes.
I know that after I've repented and I've renounced it, the enemy has no legal right to harass me in any way, no legal right to these struggles in my life, so I release myself. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And after we're released, then we resist. We got to resist the devil who will seek to gain control again. Resist him. Resist him. This is an ongoing thing. We resist him. The Bible says we resist him. James 4, verse 7. He's going to flee. This is an ongoing thing. This is a daily thing. This is a moment by moment, sometimes second by second thing. We resist. We resist. We resist. I remember sitting in the bathroom on my floor, rocking back and forth, holding the Bible, saying, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to give in. In the name of Jesus, I'm not going to give in. In the name of Jesus, I'm not going to give in. We resist. We resist. We resist. We take the sword of the Spirit and we speak the word of God. We resist. Because it's going to come again. The temptation will come again. Because you're going to feel bored again. You're going to get rejected again. And you're going to go back to those same habits. But you've got to resist.
Yes. Yes.
You've got to resist in the name of Jesus. And number six, you've got to replace whatever things the Lord delivered you from. You've got to replace whatever things the Lord has delivered you from. Replace them all. Don't hold on to anything. Don't hold on to the memories of whatever. Just replace them all. Get rid of them.
Romans 6, verse 12, he says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness to God. So we have to replace it with the word. Oh, there's freedom in the word, church. There's freedom in the word.
Yes.
The nights and the days that I was reading the Bible and reading the Bible until the relief came, because when the haze comes and the pressure comes, you feel like, man, I'm headed back to repent again. So you just read the word and then you read it out loud so that you can hear yourself say it. And you walk around, you get out of that place and just keep saying the word and saying the word. And the enemy leaves. You replace those habits, you replace those things. Whatever things that the Lord delivered you from, you replace them with the things of God. Satan, moving from Satan to selfishness, we still go into prison. We still stay in the prison. Once we get delivered, if we still make it about ourselves and still go into other habits, then, you know, also we're not looking at pornography, but now we're drinking, now we're smoking, now we're smoking. We're also jumping from one prison to the next. That's how strategic the enemy is. We gotta replace. And number seven, we gotta renew our mind.
Yes, Lord.
Renew your mind to your new identity in Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
There's a difference with bondage in the battle, like I've been telling you. There's a difference. We're now in the promised land, we now have Jesus Christ. Renew our mind to who we are in Him. We are in Him. Renew our mind. Romans 12, verse 2, he says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Lord knows the deliverance that you need. He knows the freedom that you need, and He wants it for you. We're going to pray for you this morning. Because when the sun sets free, it's free indeed. It's possible to be free. And if we think that when we die, that we'll be free, that death becomes our solution and our freedom, not Jesus Christ. He says, don't submit yourself again to a yoke of bondage, to a yoke of slavery, but walk in the freedom of Christ. So this is what I want you to do. If you're sure about being free, I don't want you to just come to this altar. Your people are going to pray with you. Just come. You're sure about being free. I pray that the Lord would just remove the pride.
Yes.
Allow you to see how many days that you've been struggling and battling.